broadcasting live from the Encita Business Radio X studio in North Carolina, it's time for NC Tech Talk, where tech leaders come to tell their stories.
Welcome to NC Tech Talk, North Carolina's internet radio broadcast covering the tech sector. I'm Michelle Calton, Vice President of Membership Development for the North Carolina Technology Association, or NCTA, as we're affectionately known by our members, and your host for this month's show. For those of you unfamiliar with NCTA, we are a not-for-profit, membership-driven trade association and the primary voice of the tech industry in North Carolina. NCTA supports economic growth through three initiatives. Executive engagement is our term for events and gatherings, where we bring together hundreds of business and technology leaders from across the state. Public affairs, which encompasses all that we do as an organization to lobby the state legislature and cover issues important to the tech sector. And a knowledge workforce, which is our term for workforce development and education, our initiative for helping companies find talent and job seekers find their next step in their career, and all that we do to support careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. If you ever want to learn more about us, you can visit us on our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, and we have a company page on LinkedIn. If you would like to receive update tweets on this show or would like to make comments, tweet to hashtag NCTechTalk. We are broadcasting live from the NCTA office in Raleigh. Our show airs on the fourth Monday of every month and features North Carolina business and technology leaders discussing their company's impact on the tech sector. For this month's show, we're joined by two guests representing two of our member companies, the Center Head for EvaluServe, Amit Shankar, and Software Solutions Executive for MyCo, Jacob Potter. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. Good afternoon. Yep.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to start off and talk to Amit first. Will you share with us some company information about EvaluServe, what the company does and how long you've been in operations?
Sure. So EvaluServe is a global professional services organization providing research, data analytics, and data management solutions. 15 years ago, we were a classic startup, which happened out of India. And since then, we've grown a global footprint. So we're now present in all the big talent markets that you can think of. So from the Far East in China to India, Eastern Europe, Chile in Latin America, and then North America in London. And we do also have offices in, satellite offices in Dubai and Japan. So, we're rather uniquely positioned as a company because we have a tech-enabled services model, which is aligned to our Mind Plus Machine strategy, which I can talk to later, but globally about 3,200 people now and expanding rapidly.
Great. Well, we're delighted to have you in North Carolina. It was just about a year ago that we had lunch when you were new to North Carolina. Will you share with us a little bit about what decision drove you to establish operations? Tell us a little bit about your Raleigh, North Carolina presence.
Sure. So, we started scouting for our operations in the U.S. Sometime mid-2013. And we looked at about six different cities, went through a due diligence process. I mean, we're a research company, so we had to do a due diligence process. And it narrowed down to two cities fairly quickly, so Austin and Raleigh. Most people tell me it comes down to Austin and Raleigh for most part of it. So essentially, after that, it was really looking at certain key facts, right? So, I mean, talent was one of the biggest drivers. With three of the biggest universities in the area, we were able to get a lot of STEM talent, which is our need. But in addition to that, location, so access to New York, big sort of metropolitans like Atlanta was a big reason. And then finally, the cost of living and cost of operations. So far, 15 months into operations, and we're very happy about the move.
Can you tell us a little bit about the size of your presence here and where exactly you're located?
Sure. So we're located in downtown Raleigh at the One Bank of America Plaza. We've grown to about 45 people already in 15 months. And so that's about adding three headcounts almost every month. And, we expect to close the year at, somewhere at 70 people, mm-hmm. could be more. And looking to be about 400 people in 5 years.
Wow. So moving on to talk a little bit more about the company, can you share with us what types of clients you serve?
So I would not be able to name any clients for confidentiality reasons, but I can tell you that we work with 10 of the largest investment banks that you can think of on Wall Street. We do also work with over 200 of the Fortune 500 companies. So we have a fairly global presence across our client base, and we work in three primary segments of financial services, corporates, and healthcare.
Okay. What are some key initiatives at ValueServe that should be exciting for potential candidates and clients?
Yeah, so I'll cover the client segment first. So in line with our strategy around Mind Plus Machine, which is really around creating tech solutions within the services sector, we believe that there are about 1 million use cases in data analytics out there. And we've started the chase for really creating those 1 million use cases along with our clients. So we believe this is going to be a very interesting journey as we help our clients scale up their data analytics initiatives across the board, and also do research for our financial services clients. So, you know, we're in a very interesting journey. We've started the race in many ways. But for our employees, you know, we take a lot of pride in our training programs. So our data analytics or financial services training programs, which should be very, very exciting to, you know, to young employees. So we're very excited about these things and plan to onboard some of our best sort of global practices there as well.
Seems like North Carolina is a good spot for you with the banking industry in Charlotte and the growth of financial services, the IT operations in particular, that the Triangle has seen a lot of growth over the past decade with companies like Credit Suisse and Fidelity, Deutsche Bank's technology arm, all being here and all are growing still in this region.
Yeah, so, you know, we're in fact trying to bring down a bit of Wall Street to North Carolina. There is a lot of good finance talent here, and we support a lot of our clients in equity research and credit research. So we're literally working with, like I said, with almost all the investment banks out there. So, you know, we are trying to put Raleigh on the map. Mm-hmm. The most frequented question is, why Raleigh? And when our clients are seeing what we're able to produce out of here, they're very, very excited.
And part of the reason why you mentioned moving to Raleigh is the hiring strategy. So what is, tell us a little bit about your hiring strategy in the region, and what are your current hiring plans?
Sure. So, you know, we're expanding rapidly because we're seeing a lot of client demand for our work. There are two segments that we are growing in Raleigh. One is financial services, where we're looking at folks with accounting or finance background and training them up for, equity research or more fundamental research work. And the other is in data analytics. So for data analytics, we're going out to, the stats, the math programs, and even economics programs or engineering programs to basically hire data nerds, as they call them, right? So anybody who's excited about data, we have the right programs for them. So we're doing some very targeted hiring, but we're doing it on a fairly large scale. So we have, within our 45 people, we already have representation from all the universities locally. But then we are expanding our footprint to sort of across US to be able to hire and meet our needs internally.
Great, great. What are career prospects for your new employees?
Yeah, so quite dramatic. I mean, ValueServe is a large organization with 3,500 people or 3,200 people right now and expanding. But, you know, if you think about Raleigh right now, we are more like startup here, right? I mean, just 45 people. So that gives a lot of the non-linear opportunity for employees, right? So they're not going to grow, you know, in a ladder process. It could be completely driven by how good their capabilities are. So we're looking for people who can deliver very well on projects, have a huge ability to absorb and learn and grow quickly. So that allows them for some very significant non-linear growth opportunity over the next couple of months or the next couple of years.
Do you have employees that change locations for your company for global experience that might work for a ValueServe in another country? Is that part of the career development?
Absolutely. So we do encourage that. So, in fact, I was at NC State a few days ago and I told them that, hey, look, we're expanding our footprint in Romania, in Chile. You know, why not go out there and try the experience? Because, you know, at a ValueServe, we're over 40 nationalities just within the organization. So that gives a great opportunity for people not to just learn technically, but also experience other cultures. So that is something we definitely promote internally.
I was going to ask you about the experience you've had in recruiting. You said you've already hired from the different universities here. Are there is there one university that might stand out as more of a where you have had some good success in hiring from, or are you establishing any partnerships with the universities where you are getting to know any of the faculty members or working in programs?
Yeah, so we've been taking baby steps, quite frankly. We've had a lot of good success with all the universities, but I would say NC State is a natural ally just because they're less than 5 miles out from our office. We, like I said, just presented to the financial math class at NC State, also, you know, meeting the operations research department. So we see some very natural partnerships for recruiting, for learning. And but, you know, the experience overall has been great. I mean, we've been very fortunate that of the 45 people we've hired or all the offers we've extended so far, we've really had just two declines so far. For a company which is new to the area, I believe that's a very good success for us.
Well, it's a great story for North Carolina. We're glad that you're here and glad to hear that you're going to continue your growth in this market. Moving from recruiting over back to your core business, and would welcome your thoughts on key trends that you see in data analytics.
Yeah, so, you know, all of us know that data analytics market has been hyped quite a bit over the last few years. It's only in about late 2014, I would say, and maybe now in 2015, that we're really seeing some significant and serious initiatives by the Fortune 500 companies. I think the big data and data obesity has really clouded everyone's mind without looking at the actual practicality of things. You know, our CEO, Mark, recently said that data by itself is beautiful. If binary data can solve your problems, you really don't need big data. So we're very driven by a use case approach, and we are helping our clients solve for those data analytics problems. So the trend we're seeing clearly is that let's get serious, but let's get practical about it and really see what data can help us in our business goals, be it marketing, be it finance, be it risk, and not really get loaded with data without actually understanding what that really means for us. So significant trends, but I think finally we're seeing businesses get serious at an industrial scale for data analytics.
Great. Well, thanks, Amit. Can you tell everyone, all our listeners, what the best way is for them to reach you in a value serve?
Sure. So they can reach me on Twitter, and I'm available at Shankar Amit. So that's S-H-A-N-K-E-R-A-M-I-T. So I'm available on Twitter. Yeah.
Excellent. We're going to shift over now to our next guest, Jacob with MyCo. Jacob, tell us a little bit more about your company. This is a homegrown North Carolina headquartered company.
Yes, absolutely. So we have about 15 years experience in the mobility space. Basically, what we are is a mobile application software company. So to put it in perspective of, say you have a field inspector, which any compliance or regulatory division of the government would have someone that is out doing regulatory or compliance inspections. They're typically doing those on paper forms. So they're writing everything out and then they're shipping them to their supervisor and the supervisor shipping it to his supervisor and then someone's entering that data into a database manually. So we take everything out and all of the middlemen out and we're actually filling those forms out on a tablet or a PC or a mobile phone or a tablet and submitting those electronically directly either to the database or to the supervisor, which can then submit it to a database. So it just streamlines the entire process.
Great. Can you tell us where you're located and a little bit about your employee size?
Yep. So we have just under 20 employees. We're located in RTP in North Carolina in Raleigh. Well, it's in a Durham office.
Great. So moving on to your to get into your line of business, can you explain what departments, lines of businesses, or industries realize gains by converting from paper processing to digital processing on tablets?
Absolutely. So if you look at what I said before about those field inspectors, it's really going to be any company that was going to have any kind of field inspection. So the sectors that we've really seen that big boom in is the government sector. Like I said, regulatory and compliance divisions, the Department of Agriculture's, Corrections, Department of Transportation's, anywhere that would have field inspections. And then also we have the manufacturing energy, so oil and gas, and also any utilities. So all of these companies within those sectors would have field inspectors that would be able to use our products.
What functions do you see rapidly adopting the use of mobile data capture, and what operational inefficiency or business drivers are supporting the adoption?
So a lot of times right now, those field inspectors are taking a picture or getting a voice recording or getting an interview, and they're having to have all these separate pieces of the actual inspection or the actual form. What my corporation does in using our MyForm software is compiling those into one form. So whether you take a picture, you can do annotations onto it, which I'll talk about a little bit more later. But what they're doing is they're taking this form and they're compiling these pieces into the form and not having it as a separate attachment. So it's really driving a compact mobile ability to submit these forms in a much more a much quicker manner.
You shared with us some information about the industries that are relying heavily on field inspection and moving to mobile forms technology. Can you share with us some specific companies or organizations with field inspection operations that you're currently working with and explain their use case?
Yeah, absolutely. So a few years ago, we started working with the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and their pesticides division, and they're using all paper forms. So to give you a little way that they're using their paper forms is a field inspector would go out into an inspection site. They'd mark off on their paper forms exactly what was happening. And then they would take that and they'd overnight it to their supervisor, costing them a couple dollars. And then their supervisor, if something was wrong with the form, they'd have to go back to the inspector, say, hey, what's wrong? What information should be on here? And then they'd have to get those corrections, fill those out, send those then to a secretary that would then input that data into the database. So it's an extremely long process. And what we were able to help North Carolina Department of Agriculture with is taking that process, which could be $5, $6 per piece of paper, and reduce the process by about 80%. So over the last few years, they've saved over $250,000 just in reducing paper from their inspections process. And every year since then, now they're seeing over $70,000 every single year in savings.
Excellent. Do you have ROI or data regarding economies of scale where moving from traditional paper-based environments and processes to mobile data capture has proven successful? Just give us that one example.
Yeah,
do you have others?
Exactly, yeah. So typically we see an ROI of between 6 and 18 months. Obviously that number is going to fluctuate depending on your current data capture process and how many steps are currently involved in getting information from the field to its final resting place. But typically that 6 to 18 months is where we see the ROI, and sometimes it could be much quicker than that.
Great. So how are you responding to your customer demands when they have suggestions for features and functions that they'd like to see incorporated into your technology?
Absolutely. So every one of our versions is going to be customer driven. Any improvement is going to be customer driven. So I mentioned earlier some of the photograph capture, for instance. Right within a form, you can take a picture and then pull that picture up and draw on it. So that's one, say, in a motor vehicle accident report. Someone could take a picture of an accident and then annotate directly on the picture to show what was happening or areas of concern. We have barcode capture, voice recordings. I mentioned the annotations, handwriting, and signature capture, among many, many other things that we can do, drop-down boxes, all within the single form, and things are constantly improving. So as our customers give us feedback, we'll continue to make improvements to the forms.
So continually updating, enhancing your product line.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And the development is all happening here in North Carolina, your development team?
Yes, it is. Yep. So we have a few developers, our CIO, Chris DiPiero, and they're working locally to do that. Yep.
Great. How is MyCo different from its competition in this fast-growing marketplace?
So I'd say the biggest differentiator is our flexibility. So I mentioned some of the features and the benefits of having those features within the forms is just the flexibility around capturing any kind of data that you would like to within those field inspections and then putting them directly into the form. The second is that we are by and far the most mature company on the market. So we're on version 10.1 of our software, with continual improvements, obviously, over those 10 versions. But we've been doing it for 15 years, and it's pretty much the only thing that we've been doing. We've been focused on this market, focused on the technology to really drive the mobility in the marketplace.
Can you tell us a little bit about your model? Is it as a service model or?
So it's a little bit of both. So we have obviously our software that's going to be the backbone of everything that we do, right? So it's going to give them the capability to create their own forms and really give them a leg up on going paperless. Then we have a service model that will train them, help them, anything that we need to do on the back end as far as integrating their database. Or we could actually host it for them. So from a service standpoint, we use a couple cloud providers that we could actually host the MyForm server for them.
Great. Well, it was timely to have you on the show today because we have an exciting program coming up. I know for the past few years, MyCo has been hosting a mobility summit to gather leading mobility experts and industry thought leaders to exchange ideas and offer talks and workshops to those interested in mobile solutions. This year, the summit is scheduled here for here in the Triangle, April 22nd and 23rd. What can people expect from that event?
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. And we really invite anyone to come out that's interested in mobility software. So it's going to be a collection of some of our customers that are going to be speaking, as well as speakers from around the mobility sector. It's going to be 2 days of nothing but mobile. And it's really a great way to either be introduced to it or learn more about the mobility sector. So basically what's going to happen is if you'd like to know a little bit more about that, you could go on to mycorporation.com. That's my-corporation.com. Go to the events page, and then right there, you could register for the Mobility Summit.
I'm also excited to announce that you're extending a special $100 off individual registrations to fellow members of NCEDA. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Can you share how NCEDA members can register for the conference and take advantage of that special offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you, in order to take advantage of the special offer, just give us a call at 919-485-4819 and ask for anyone in the sales department. We can actually help you out with that. And then, like I said previously, go to mycorporation.com, go to the events page, the Mobility Summit, and you can register right there.
And that sounds like the best way to get in touch with you and MyCo. Are there any other, do you have a Twitter handle you'd like to share?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a Twitter handle. It's @my_corporation. So that's underscore corporation.
Great. Well, thank you, Amit and Jacob, for joining us today and telling us about EvaluServe and My Corporation. Glad to have such dynamic companies that are growing here in our backyard. Before we go, I wanted to remind our listeners that NCEDA is hosting a special edition of our Come Tech Out the Triangle Job Fair this Wednesday, March 25th. The job fair will be presented in partnership with the Data for Decisions Conference and Expo and lead local community partners, and we're expecting a very big crowd for that conference. We have at the job fair more than 24 employers participating with 1,500 plus job openings available. We encourage you to spread the word if you know of anyone looking for a job. More information can be found at our website, nctechnology.org. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NCTA and on LinkedIn. Our next show will be on April 27th at 1 p.m., so make sure you tune back in then. Thanks and have a great day.